to another episode of Declutter Me, a podcast about organizing and decluttering your life with your host, Shalina. Hey there.
Hi, Shrek. How are you?
I'm good. Now that we're done basking in the glory of episode 75.
Yes.
I guess it's back to a regularly scheduled programming today.
Yes, it is. We're back to normal. Back to, well, let's be philosophical today, I think.
So what are we going to talk about?
I was thinking, let's talk about extended families, because we've talked about spouses. We've talked about newlyweds, but we haven't talked about the rest of the family. So the mums, the dads, the in-laws, the brothers and sisters, cousins.
The hikers and the bikers.
Oh my God, we're rapping again. Yeah. So about these people. So let's discuss that and how they can be detrimental to the decluttering process or helpful or a hindrance, not detrimental, but more hindrance.
But we have a couple different contexts here, especially when you're living in a city and that kind of thing. We see that a lot. So we have situations where someone is either living with their immediate family, could be parents sometimes it could be siblings as well, or cousins, you know, you have some relationship with them. But you also see this happening a lot from a marriage angle as well. So post-marriage or as a result of marriage, you're landing up living with your partner's family members. It could be in-laws, but it also could be like a partner sibling or a cousin. Again, same story, right? So would the advice be about the same, or is it completely different?
Of course, it depends on the nature of the personalities and the people. I mean, a lot of the, another scenario that you didn't raise as well is that I find that especially with big families here, with local families, that they live in sort of compounds. So maybe separate houses, but they're all within the same compound. They all eat together and know each other's business. So there's the mum, the dad, the sisters, the brothers, the in-laws, the sister and brother-in-laws, and then the in-laws maybe as well. So there's all these different people. So they're all involved in each other's business. So that's the other element. So maybe let's talk about parents first.
Okay.
So with parents, there's two situations that arises. Either the ones that are like, I've seen with clients that they've said they need help to declutter and organize themselves. And the parents have gone, but why? Why can't you do it yourself? Or why are you getting other people involved? Why do you want a stranger to come into the house? There's a big issue with that. And then there's the other side where the parents are like, oh, thank God you're saying, you're doing this, you're getting someone. This is brilliant. I'll even pay for this for you so that you can sort this out, because they've been trying for years and years. And these people have said, like, the children have been reluctant to listen to the parents.
So it's kind of this funny range of like parents that don't trust their kids' abilities to organize, to like parents thinking potentially the kid is doing this because they want to declutter my stuff. Yeah. And like it becomes personal for them as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So the ones that are reluctant for me to come in or for their family to declutter and organize, it is because they think that we're going to touch their stuff, which we won't, because of course you're not going to touch anybody else's things without their permission. So what we do and what I tell the clients to do is to make it clear that we're only going to do usually their bedroom. So only going to do their bedroom, only their stuff, the things that they've bought, nothing else. And that the family can see how much is decluttered, but to know that it's not their stuff and it's not their decision to make. It's up to this grown adult who's their child to make the decision of what to do with their bedroom, the things in their bedroom.
You've mentioned this multiple times before, where you want this process to be collaborative, not confrontational, naturally, even though sometimes that happens. But when it comes to parents sort of feeling like it's their stuff, it has to be about reassuring them as well.
Well, the thing is, in a lot of them situations I find, especially with these big families, is that I'm called in and the child will say, can you do my room, so they can see what you do and what you can do, what you've done in my room, because it needs help anyway. And they can then be inspired to do it for themselves, for the living room or for the, their bedroom or whatever, or the kitchen. And that's happened, that I'm then called in because the parents have actually seen what a difference it makes. And I try and do before and after pictures so that I can show it to all of the parties and say, see, look, this is what it looked like before, and this is exactly the same space now, and look how organized it is. We can do the same for you in the right way and make sure that you don't lose anything. And another good thing that we always do, with these kind of situations, that jewelry. I always find with very messy children's houses, their parents have bought them like expensive jewelry, like, gold and, diamonds and stuff like that. And these kids have just left it lying around in the bedroom or in the boxes, or they're under the bed, or it's just in a mess. And it shouldn't even be lying around. It should be in a safe because they're expensive items, and they just haven't looked after stuff properly. And when we're doing the process of decluttering and organizing the bedroom, we find all this jewelry, and sometimes we find a huge amount. And then I find a jewelry box and put it all into that jewelry box and go, give it to your mum to put in the safe. And they do that. And their parents are so grateful that all of this has suddenly come up, and that things they, but they've been worrying about where this stuff is, and I have found it for them and been the responsible one going, put it in the safe now. So that's when it clicks to them that this is actually a good thing, that they're I'm safeguarding their stuff and not decluttering the good stuff.
So now let's talk about the other one that we were talking about, which is sort of the same level people. So it's like the siblings, the cousins.
So with them, it's the same sort of situation, but a lot of them, it's there'll be siblings that are disparaging about the whole thing. They want to, they tease their siblings or disparage them or put them down, which is not good. You need to be encouraging if anybody, whether it's your friend or your family. If you don't need to declutter and organize, it doesn't mean that somebody else doesn't need to do it. And it's with anything in situation in life. You know, you might be brilliant at something, but somebody else might not be, and they need help from a third party, isn't it? So it's that same sort of logic that has to be used. So it's not just siblings, it's like cousins, friends. A lot of them all do the same. You know, like people go, I'm going to get a professional organizer to help me. And they'll be like, but why can't you do it yourself? Or you haven't got that much stuff, or why do you want to get rid of your stuff? Just give it to me. It's not that easy just to do that. You know, there has to, some people feel overwhelmed looking at their stuff. So there needs to be a bit more encouragement from the siblings. If they're going to behave like that and talk, be disparaging, don't tell them. It's at the end of the day, it's your stuff. You don't have to tell them. You don't need, in a way, their permission to deal with your stuff. You know, so what people do is book me when people are not in the house, when the family members have gone on holiday, or they've gone to another city, or they've gone away for the day, and they've said, can you come in and help me? But I don't want anybody to see, because they'll make disparaging comments, you know.
So this is actually a case in which that scenario actually helps, because you're not going to, unlike in the case of a spouse where the person's stuff actually affects them as well directly, this is a case where it doesn't, but it kind of just helps them deal with this problem where a sibling might actually, as you said, be disparaging or be almost unapproving of the fact.
The thing is, and they, you know, it's with any family dynamic that they'll go tell their family, they'll go tell their other brothers and sisters, they'll go tell the parents, they'll go tell the cousins, you know, there'll be this, all this teasing, and it's not nice, you know, because, you know, they might have a lot of clutter for a reason. And, you know, there might be a psychological reason. They don't need someone to be disparaging on top of that. There's that. And then a lot of them, of course, it's the same thing that's happened that, you know, like a lot of sisters. One sister will call me in, and another one will turn up and see what's happening and go, oh, yeah, she's terrible. And then the client will go, yeah, she's just as bad as well. And then they'll bicker about who's bad and who's got too much clutter. And it's ended up that they're bickering and bickering. And then the sister will go, oh, I'll book you as well. Like a week later, she'll go, all right, come and do me as well, as I saw what you did with my sister. So that's quite amusing. So I have done a lot of sisters and cousins over the years. So yeah, it's good. It sort of triggers people, I think, sometimes to get themselves sorted out.
Yeah, and I think as we've mentioned many times before, with all of these scenarios, I think there's so much emotional entanglement between the people that we're talking about, that it's very likely that, you know, just the action of doing something like this, when it comes to belongings and personal effects and all of that, there's so much other unsaid layers of things that get involved in these things, especially when you're dealing with family. So
there is, and things have happened, like, you know, as I say, there's psychological reasons sometimes for why people have too much stuff. And a big one is grief. And, you know, family members deal with grief in different ways. Some ways are through shopping. And I have had clients where their relatives have been disparaging to this client because they're like, oh, they're shopaholics, they keep on shopping. And I was like, yes, there is a element of shopping too much. But when I, you know, I've talked to the clients, I mean, with one in particular, you know, talking to her privately, when the family members, like there was, I think, cousins and nieces were bothering us during the session and being quite disparaging about their family member, when I finally got to talk to her quietly alone, I found out that, you know, somebody very close to her had passed away, and she'd never been able to deal, you know, grieve properly. She didn't go for therapy. So she did this instead to kind of cover up the pain and shop a lot. And from talking and discussing and decluttering, she started to, you know, it was a kind of therapy for her. And then I encouraged her to go for therapy as well. But it didn't help having the family members around. It was only when we had a moment alone, and then the family members came back and they saw there was a change in the atmosphere. And because us two were very quiet and very, you know, and we were both very serious, they could see that they had to stop with the manner that they'd been talking to her before. And that was good in a way. So people have to think about that.
Just to take that a step back, like if you look at a city like Dubai especially, there's a lot of, grief, of course, it's a much more intense situation. But sometimes it's, you know, it's not necessarily even that far away. It's just separation, right? You're away from family, you're away from parents, you're away from whatever. Even though you might have a sibling here, you might have a cousin here, it's still not the same thing. And so there's a lot of, sometimes people, and I've seen people do that, where it's more about adjustment. It's just dealing with that separation, dealing with not feeling like you belong or not feeling like it's home and all that. And you manifest it in so many different ways, including shopping. There could be so many other layers to dealing with that. And obviously, it's super important that siblings are very, very cautious of it. Because I think, as you mentioned, I think it's very easy for the judgment that comes from a sibling versus a parent to hit you a lot harder, because you expect that your parents will treat you as a child and think of you as being, let's say, for example, he or she can't handle her stuff. Whereas when a sibling does it, it feels, I think, a lot stronger.
Yeah, exactly. So there needs to be, that kind of empathy. When, you know, somebody says they need help with decluttering and organizing, you know, the family need to allow somebody else to come in, a third party. And, you know, because, and as we've discussed many times before, family members can't be involved in the decluttering and organizing a lot of the time because of psychological reasons and emotional reasons. You're emotionally attached to that person and maybe to their stuff as well. I have had, you know, clients. I had one client. She was decluttering. She was getting really into the decluttering, and it was amazing because she had such a lot of stuff. And a family friend, who has grown up with them, so it's practically a sister, a cousin, came in and was screaming at me of why I'm doing this and why I'm forcing them to the client to declutter. And I was like, I'm not forcing anything. This is the nature, you know, this is all her deciding. I'm just the instigator, I'm the pusher, but I'm not the one forcing her to declutter. This is all her, and she's decided she needs to declutter and let go of a lot of stuff. And this lady could not understand. She was screaming at me until, like, other people, members of the family, had tell her to leave. And it was none of her business to, you know, it's not her stuff. She hadn't paid for it. So there is that, you know, it's not just family members, it's friends. But it's
complicated.
Very, yes.
Okay, well, I think we'll leave it right here for this week. I think it's something we're going to keep exploring, of course. If you had a family member or somebody that's got in the way of decluttering, or importantly, if that's the reason you haven't done your decluttering, I think let's hope that this episode is your starting point to be like, actually, you need to put that behind you and start focusing on the fact that this is something that you should do and not leave it to somebody else's judgment.
And to think of it like this, like if you had a problem with your tooth, would you go to your, you know, your siblings or your parents and say, do you think I should do this to my tooth? No, you would just book an appointment and go to the dentist. So if you have a lot of clutter and you need help with organizing, you call an organizer to help you, because, you know,
that's what you should do.
Yeah, it's not as painful as pulling your teeth out.
Well, in theory maybe. All right, well, as always, if you want to catch up on other episodes of the show and all of that, you can find everything at declutterme.com/podcast, and of course you can find the show in your favorite podcast player, and you can find Shalina by looking for Declutter Me on social media.
And if you like what you hear, you can always leave a comment and let us know, because that would be lovely.
Cool. Well, we'll see you next week.
All right. Bye.